Good morning. I'm so glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning, and we're glad to welcome our visitors and our guests. We're glad you're here and hope that you'll come and worship with us again. I have a number of very important announcements for you today, so if you are in the habit of not listening to announcements, this would not be the day for that. Please pay attention today. The first is about the pictorial directory. We are so excited and thankful for your tremendous response with that. We have one slot open on April 16th at 8:40. So if you still aren't signed up, you got one shot. First one to get to Angie or Denise, you can have it. But also, I'm told they need a few more volunteers to help host when people come and sign them in and stuff like that. And you'll be able to do that in the narthex after worship as well. Your Go and Serve says your Easter Lily forms are in your bulletin. I didn't find it in mine. They were in the Go and Serve, and I understand there are some in the narthex. If you don't have one of those yet and would like to provide an Easter Lily, those forms are in the narthex. It's time to send our donations down with a truck to Williamsburg County, and we're loading on Friday evening. We're going to start about 4:30 or so, and come when you can. And we'll be glad for all help, any and all help we're going to be loading. We got plenty of stuff, so we're excited and they're excited. I crawled into the big storage unit in the back yesterday and dug my way as far back as I could so I could make a list of all the big items. And it's quite a generous response. Let me call on our council chair, Paul Austin, who has an important thing to discuss.
Good morning. A number of months ago, one of the congregational members brought to our attention some concerns about safety and security at the church. And so we've talked with some of the deputies, and we've had people come in and advise us about different things. And then we formed a task force, a safety task force, in which Earl Wells is our chairperson of that, and I thank Earl for chairing that. They've met a number of times first of the year, and they've made some recommendations to council, and they've already implemented some of the recommendations, like increased lighting in the parking lot. We've already done that. Back there by the old kitchen, the dumpster area is better lit. They're recommending cutting the shrubbery back a little bit, so they're going to do that in the next few weeks. I think Robert Pell is going to head that up, kind of oversee cutting back the shrubbery. It may not look so good for a few months there, but it'll grow back. Pastor Gary is working on policies and procedure manuals for outside groups and for ourselves as far as the building and trying to keep it safe. And the fourth issue, and there'll probably be some other recommendations coming down, but one of the big issues is they recommended maybe having a uniform officer on site on Sunday mornings. And so council decided it'd be good if we had input from the congregation before agreeing to that or signing on to that. And so for the next couple of weeks, we'd like to get input from the congregation about any concerns or positive thoughts. If we want, you know, encouragement or support or negative comments or concerns from the congregation concerning possibly hiring a deputy through the sheriff's department. They organize all that. And it would be from like 8:30 to 11:30. And if we do decide to go that route, we might try it for like 4 to 6 weeks, see how we like it. It would be a uniformed officer. His patrol car would be parked out front, which we think would be a deterrent in itself, having the patrol car out there. But, you know, we live in a different world than most of us grew up in. I was at a school about a month ago in Sumter, and I got there about 8:30, and the administration said, at 10 till 9, we're going to have an active shooting drill. And so it's just a different world that we live in now. And it's sad that we have to think about these issues at schools and at churches and stuff. But and the task force has done a wonderful job at trying to balance that. We don't want to button down like Fort Knox or something, but we don't want to be too soft or lackadaisical about our security and our safety here. And so if you could talk to some of the council members over the next couple of weeks, we have a council meeting 2 weeks from tonight, which we make a decision about moving forward about having a uniformed officer on site. But if you have some concerns about that or support on that, talk to some of the council members, myself, Pastor Gary, or, you know, just anybody on the task force, let us know what your thoughts are, and then we'll move forward from there. Okay?
Great. Thank you, Paul. There is also in your Crossroads newsletter that came, you might have gotten it yesterday, we got ours yesterday, a big article that kind of outlines all this, as well as some of the other things the Security Task Force has been working on. So you'll see all that in there. Amanda, you're up.
I'm up. All right. So, a couple of announcements regarding youth and family ministry. Next Sunday, March 8th, we invite all the 4K through 5th graders. We're going to be talking about Lent and Holy Week and Easter and doing resurrection days. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yes.
It'll be a lot of fun. So we invite you to join us for that 4K through 5th grade next Sunday. It'll include lunch and all. Also, I know we just started Lent, but we do have to plan ahead. And there's going to be April 4th, a Easter egg hunt. And I hear that the congregation in the past has helped with candy for this Easter egg hunt. Pastor Gary's giving me a look.
You're right. No,
I'm right? Ahead. Okay, I'm just making sure, because don't want to be standing up here telling lies or anything. Okay, so on April 4th, we have an Easter egg hunt. And the fun part about that is we invite the community to this Easter egg hunt. We have crafts and games, and we want to include any and all children and adults and teens that would like to be a part of that. In fact, I've heard that in the past they've had an adult Easter egg hunt, too. So Easter egg hunts are my thing. I love, love, love a good Easter egg hunt. So come join us for that. Mark your calendars. But also, if you're willing to provide some candy, it needs to be individually wrapped candy with no peanuts, because we want to keep everybody safe. So we'll be collecting candy up until April 4th for that. I think those are all my announcements.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it's sad I've never won the Easter egg hunt. Sounds to me like the gauntlet has been thrown down.
Be ready.
Let's prepare for our worship.
Thank you.
Please rise as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who is present, who gives life, who calls into existence the things that do not exist. Amen. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, and so we confess. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned away from you, knowingly and unknowingly. We have wandered from your resurrection life. We have strayed from your love for all people. Turn us back to you, O God. Give us new hearts and right spirits, that we may find what is pleasing to you and dwell in your house forever. Amen. Receive the good news. God turns to you in love. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, says our God. All your sin is forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the free and abounding gift of God's grace for you. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. to be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. Hey, Artie, I think it's you and me today, buddy. And I have a bowl of water. Let's just put it down right here so we don't spill it. How about that? Okay. And this is really cool because I found this at the store. It's a fish and an octopus.
Can we open it?
Yes, we're going to open it. And it says they grow. And in fact, it says it grows 600%. Wow. So we're going to put this in the water, and it's going to get really big, right? We're going to sit right here and do it, okay? Would you rather have the octopus in there or the fish?
Both.
Both? You think we got enough room in this building if it's going to get 600% bigger? You do? All right, we'll do both. Okay.
Let's.
You have to wait for it? Well, it doesn't happen right away. It doesn't say on the package you have to wait for it. It says, grow the creature. Add to water. So that we're going to add these to the water. You want to put them in? All right, put them in. Get ready. They're about to go. Nothing's happening. They're still the same size they were.
Must be
we have to take a long time. But it just doesn't say that. It says just put it in the water. But you know what? You're right. It does take a long, long time to do this. And in fact, for them to grow 600% is really not very much. That's only six times bigger than they are. It's not like they're going to be this big. They're going to go from here to about there. That's really not very big. But you know what? I wanted to talk to you about this today because this package is making some great promises. And you look at this and what? Did the promises come true? No, they didn't. That's not what that says. That says grows 600%. It does take a long time. Yes, it does. Let me have that back, okay? But you know what? The package, if you just look at the front, because you know where it says it takes a long time? Way over here on the back in very small print, it says, that's where it says it takes a long time. But up here on the front, it just promises to grow and grow and grow and get really big. Yes, that's what it says. Yes. So sometimes people make promises to us that aren't kept. They don't happen the way we think it's going to happen. And that happens in our scripture today. We hear from, in one lesson, the serpent is going to talk to Adam and Eve. Okay, I will, just a second. So you have... the serpent promises that some things will happen and they're not very good. And later on, you're going to hear a passage where the devil promises Jesus some things would happen, but they're not going to come true either. Just like this doesn't come true. The thing is, we have to remember God's promises and know that God's promises are come true. Now, let's ask you.
It did not have to
be big, and it has to be bigger.
Yeah.
So now,
it's the Mr. Tim over here you wanted me to ask? Mr. Tim, he wanted you to come over here and check and see if these were getting any bigger. They fit in this package.
No.
Thank you, Mr.
Not
Tim.
Much.
We'll just sit here and actually, for those of you out there, it says over the next few days your creature will grow. And in fact, it's more exciting than grass. That's about right. Somewhere I saw it'll take it takes about a week to reach the full size.
Or
1,500 minutes? Yeah, could be. Yeah. So I don't think we're going to wait that long for it. Yeah. But let's have our prayer, Artie. Okay. God of grace and love, we thank you for your promises and for how we know we can count on the promises you give. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord. Where are you going to go with it? Okay. This is a test of faith. Great, I got it. Thank you, sir. I'm just going to put it right down here. Okay, thank you, sir.
The first reading is a reading from Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord. The second reading is a reading from Romans. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
One day a man drove his secretary home after she felt ill at work. Although this was an innocent gesture, he decided not to mention it to his wife, who tended to get very jealous easily. Later that night, the man and his wife were driving to a restaurant when suddenly he looked down and spotted a high-heeled shoe half hidden under the passenger seat. Not wanting to be conspicuous, he waited until his wife was looking out her window before he scooped up the shoe and tossed it out of the car. With a sigh of relief, he pulled into the restaurant parking lot. That's when he noticed his wife squirming around in her seat. "Honey," she asked, "have you seen my other shoe?" I think his cover-up wasn't going to work. Exposure isn't something most of us are comfortable with. Neither were Adam and Eve. Our first reading today tells a fascinating ancient story that spans the ages. It happened long ago. It happened just today. It's a story that starts in paradise and ends in nakedness. It starts in trust and ends in disobedience. And it's a story we know well, not because it's famous, but because it's our story too. The text says that God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. It was a place of joy and wonder with everything they needed. But the best part of all was that God was there with them. They walked with God and they talked with God. They were as close as they could be. The garden was paradise, and there was only one prohibition. They were not to eat of one particular tree. And that's when the serpent showed up. And right there, the story takes some interesting and familiar turns. Did God say, the serpent asked Eve, and suddenly things were changed. In his conversation with Eve, the serpent takes what had been a command of God and recasts it as an option. Suddenly, God's word isn't something simply to be obeyed. It's seen as a choice, one option among many choices. And that's what we do so often, don't we? Don't we rationalize our decisions to ourselves, trying to convince ourselves that we have the option to do what we want to do and not what God wants us to do? Oh, the serpent is talking and Eve is listening, but so are we. There's something else about that serpent right there too, something terrible and fearsome. Up to this point, Adam and Eve had walked with God and talked with God. But the serpent doesn't do that. The serpent talks about God. God is made an object to be discussed, not a creator to be in relationship to. And oh, we do that too. Oh, how we try to keep God at a distance. Oh, how we study and work to look for loopholes to exploit. Oh, how we parse God's word to find a way to get our way. Yes, the serpent is still talking, and our ears are still tuned to hear. Finally, devastatingly, after they have eaten, there's one small detail that means a lot more than it seems at first. They know they are naked. And they make loincloths to cover themselves. It was time for the cover-up. They are exposed in their disobedience, and they do all they can to cover up themselves. But worse, their whole focus is changed. God's purpose for them is forgotten as they are wrapped up in their own purpose for themselves and about themselves. Things aren't the way God intended them to be. It's broken. And oh, how our hearts burn because we know that we are self-absorbed too. We know that our efforts are far more often focused on our purposes rather than God's. We know that we are naked before God as much as they were. No wonder they wanted to cover themselves and hide. So do we. So where does all this lead? Well, here as we begin our Lenten journey, their story, our story, points to how much we need God's grace. As we march inexorably toward the cross with Jesus, our very first steps remind us of how much we need His sacrifice. We are as disobedient as Adam and Eve were. And if anything is clear, it's this. We need forgiveness. We need God's love. We're naked, exposed before God. But the good news is that on that cross, God was exposed before us too. And when we see God, we see love. We see mercy. We see grace. It's an ancient story, and yet it's our story too. Sin is who we are, but love is who God is, and we are covered up in God's grace. Amen. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and he became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty Lord, bless us on these first few steps of our Lenten journey. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us in these days, O God. Give us a new vision of your grace for us. Open our ears to your call. Open our hearts to your love. Lord, in your mercy, God of mercy and grace, create in us clean hearts. So often our hands reach out for that forbidden fruit. So often we allow our own desires to rule our lives. So often we care more for ourselves than for you. We repent today, O God. Forgive us. Care for us in spite of our wrong. Lead us every day to follow you. Lord, in your mercy, God of love, may our hearts burn with your love. Be with and bless all those in need, all those who hunger, all those alone, those who have voids in their lives that need filling. Where there is hurt, give your comfort. Where there is joy, increase that joy. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, God of accompaniment. You are the God of our past, our present, and our future. You have been faithful to us in our past, and you are with us now. Give us trust and hope for the bright future we have with you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray. Trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace.
Let us pray. Holy and generous host, you set a table where we feast as friends. Prepare us to witness to your goodness with every gift you have given us to share, that all people may know your peace through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me."
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, living God, for the body and blood of your Son, which sustains us in the wilderness and in the garden alike. As Christ has loved us in this feast, so send us to love Christ in our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
didn't forget. I wrote myself a note. Hey, Margaret, how are you? Good. David's going to help us here. Honey, here. Will you do that? You help her with that, and I'll take these.
Thank you. Is there a restroom down here?
You know, if you go down the hall and turn right, there's one right there.
Maybe that's where it is.
Too, Barbara. Good to see you. Tell Amanda when you see her that Mary Beth and family and us, tell her hello.
Okay.
Yeah, hope she's doing well. Thank you. All right.